today, you know, to start a new year in the house of the Lord, aren't you? Just feels right, doesn't it, to be in the house of the Lord on the first day of the year, celebrating Jesus Christ and His power. I wanted to talk to you and just do a little mini-series on preparing for success for 2012. How many knows that if we're going to be successful at anything, it's not an accident? Did you ever just accidentally become a success in anything? Usually you like it, you love it, you practice it, you prepare. You know, there's preparation in it. That, you know, you don't, I don't know of anyone that became financially successful, for instance, by just saying, you know, I'll just spend and whatever happens, happens. You know, I've never seen anybody just accidentally become healthy and muscled and toned. Have you? How'd you get so toned? I don't know. I just woke up one morning. Here I was. Look at me. It'd be nice, wouldn't it, if we could do that? But you know, it just doesn't happen. So everything's about preparation. And I thought I would take us to Matthew, the 6th chapter. In fact, if you have your Bible, just hold it up high this morning. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. In 2012, I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6. Now we're going to look at the chapter because there's so many things in here that Jesus told us we should do. And I want to start with verse 1, and we're going to work through. But I want you to, I want to kind of get ahead just a little bit. And if you have your Bible, go down to verse 21, because I want to start off just a little different than the chapter does. In verse 21, Matthew chapter 6. How many in here would say, most people would say, if I asked them, what would you say about Randy or Donna or, you know, you? If I ask, what do you think about them? How many, and if this would be the question, would you say they're optimistic or pessimistic? What would they say? Said all the optimistic people. So do you see the glass half full or do you see it half empty, you know? And a lot of that is depends on where your mind is, where your heart is, right? Is how you see things. In fact, that's basically how you see everything. It's wherever your heart is, that's how you're going to look at things. That's how you're going to see things. And here's what I know. There's too many times, I believe, that most of us, and I don't know how many that is, you have to determine that, but there's going to be all kinds of opportunities this year to see things in a negative light. How many just old enough to realize that? We're around people, they do stupid things. Do you ever wonder why God put stupid people around you? Haven't you ever wondered that? Yeah. And then sometimes people wonder why, you know, God put you around them, right? Yeah. And so there's going to be opportunity to look at things in a negative way. And I want to just show you something here. And let's kind of make a, you know, we got a thin crowd today. I guess everybody partied too long last night that didn't make it, but... But, you know, God bless them and all. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin this year saying that I need to, whenever I'm looking at something, a situation, could be at home, could be at work, could be wherever, in your daily agenda, everything that comes along this year, we want to look at the good in whatever it is. How many knows we have the opportunity to do that, right? We can look at the good. And we can see the good that's in it, or we can see the negative that's in there. Because there's always going to be a positive and a negative. And here's what I found. When I'm around people, and I'm pretty much positive for the most part. I have my times just like you and get on this negative trail. But I'm very aware most of the time when I'm doing it. And I think, you know, this is not edifying. And by the grace of God, turn it around. But also I've noticed this, that when people get on some kind of a negative kick against someone or something that's happening, and you can just reach out and touch it with a little positive or a little input that's uplifting and change it. You ever notice that? somebody's a little negative, you know, just do a little tweaking. Just bring something positive in the situation and watch how it changes. We were on our trip this last weekend, and one of the guys that was with us was talking about his kids and how they spend money. And me and Jan and his wife all start saying, you know, but the kid works hard, he's very intelligent, he makes good money. And he said, well, I won't go there again, you know. Just a little tweak, you know. But he does. He works hard, and he makes really good money, especially for his age and all, and they do spend. But that's part of who he is. I mean, no, here's something I've learned. Whatever you value, that's what you're going to do, right? Whatever you value. Now, but here, I want to show you something. Look in Matthew 6:21. Let's just back up to verse 19, and it kind of says, do not lay up yourselves treasures in heaven or on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And that's not talking about not having a 401k or retirement plan or savings account. It's not talking about that. And he'll explain. It says, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and thieves do not break in and steal. So a part of our life should be, and we'll cover that in when we back up to verse 1, about part of our life should be investing in others. And we'll talk about that. But now, this is what I want you to see. For where your treasure is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, if you want to know where your treasure is, just look at your daily agenda, whatever you do, day in and day out, and just look at your time. What do you spend most of your time doing? Now, if you've got little kids, you know, we had a new baby and little baby Megan, so most of your time is probably going to be spent with baby Megan because they come in and the whole world revolves around them. Isn't it amazing when you get a baby and they're this big, but you got this much stuff you got to carry with you? I was so glad when ours quit with the diapers and the bottles and all that stuff, you know, and the car seats. They got to have their own seat. And they got, you know, it's like goodness, you know. When I was little, we just all climbed in the truck and went to town, you know. Take your risk. They didn't stop you. They didn't ask you about a seat belt. They didn't care, you know. Just a different world in where we're living, isn't it? Just a different time. And then they just voice themselves whenever they get ready. Right in the middle of preaching. That's the baby. And your world changes. So all I'm saying is if you have a young child, you don't have to really examine much because you know a majority of your time is going to be spent there around their schedule and all. But here's what I want to ask you. If you're seeking where your treasure is, just start with, and I want to challenge you to do this week. Just say, where's most of my hours in my day going? Because wherever they're going, that's where your treasure is. It's not where you say it is. We could say, oh, my treasure is my relationship to God. Well, here's the question I would have. How many hours do you spend with God? If that is really where your treasure is, how much time do you spend with the Lord? Oh, my time is... what I really treasure is giving, you know. Well, do you give according to Scripture? I really value relationships. Well, how much time in relationship building is spent in your calendar? That's all, you know, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so I'd like you to just take a look. It's a good exercise just to look back and say, what did I spend most of my time? You know, the success of your life can be found in your daily agenda, right? What you do day in, day out, where all your hours are spent. That's where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, the Bible says, that's where your heart will be. So it's an exercise worth doing, just saying, what is it that I spend the majority of my time doing? Now, I understand most of us work and all, but outside your work, outside those times, and even some inside those work, is there a charitable things that you do? Is there a time that you're focused on somebody else, you know, giving encouragement or direction to as a supervisor or even as just an employee? What do you do with inside that work schedule? You know, what is that? Where do you spend your time? Because wherever your time is spent, that's where your That's where your treasure and that's where your heart is. Now watch this in verse 22. And it seems like an odd place to put this verse unless you follow what he's talking about. He's just said where our heart is, our treasure is, there our heart will be also. That's where our focus, our time, our attention is going to be. And so in that light, we'll look at what he says here. The lamp of the body is the eye. Doesn't that seem a little strange right there if you're not following suit here? But if you think back up and say, well, he's talked to us about treasure on earth and not laying up, getting too involved about this. How many knows we're going to another place when we leave here? And he's just saying we need to spend some time focused on that. And so here we are, and he says, the lamp of the body is the eye. And he says, if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is good, what you see and how that's translating what you see, he said, then the whole body will be full of light. This is why I wanted to ask you, are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? What are you? Are you positive? Are you negative? And all of us, you know, it takes a little positive and a negative. If you're a parent, there's positive and negative in raising children, isn't there? I mean, you have to teach them the negatives. Thou shalt not. You know, they can't, if you don't teach them about the little light things, they'll be sticking stuff in the light, you know, a little key or whatever they can pick up. They say, oh, look, something sharp. Oh, look, a hole, you know. And so you have to teach them the negatives of doing that for their own safety. You have to teach them about the boundaries of the yard. You know, if they get outside the yard, don't you get outside the yard. Don't leave the yard. You know, that's a negative. That's a thou shalt not get outside these boundaries. And if you do, there's a consequence, right? And so there's a positive and negative. But I'm saying when life presents a situation to us, do you look at it in a positive light? Is your eye full of light, or do you automatically begin negative? I mean, if you ever watch the news, this could be a good gauge for you and I. When you're watching the news, how's your attitude? Yeah. A lot of negative news on, isn't there? I mean, you know, if when I was growing up as a kid, and I would have never thought I grew up out in the country and had an Opie Taylor life, and I never thought I would be in a city, living in a city where somebody's murdered almost every night. I guess we think, well, there's a million people or better, so our odds are good. We'll remain here, right? That there's no other place to go, is there? Where would we go that there's not this kind of thing going on? So as we look at the news, what kind of a heart do you have? Do you have a heart that breaks for people, or do you have a, you know, what do you see and what do you look at? So he says, now if the eye is bad, verse 23, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So here's my challenge to all of us this year. Everything that we see, I'd like for you to put to pick the good out of whatever it is that's being presented. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? I understand that's a challenge. You know, because you're in the grocery store and somebody, there's two in your line, there's four in this line, you beat somebody to this line of two and you're feeling good about it. And all of a sudden, this young mother or somebody pulls out an envelope, and unexpectedly, they pull it out, and they're just filled full of coupons in your line. Should we have an altar call right now, or you just want to wait to the... Now, look, how many knows there is some good you could see in that if you wanted to? Are you with me? There are some good things that you could see in that if you want to. A positive thing would be, Father, thank you for somebody that's a good steward over what they have. May I be a better steward like them someday in Jesus' name. Is that what you usually say? Yeah, my daughter probably does because she clips them and uses them. And if you had as many kids as they did, you would too, probably. They have as many kids as all of you all brought in this morning, yeah. But you see what I'm saying? And then so when the person pulls out the coupons, now we've not, it's not only what our eye sees, but what we begin to think and about how we... And here's why we focus negatively on somebody that's doing something good. It's because it doesn't benefit me. Aren't you glad you came? It doesn't benefit me. It's going to hold my schedule up. It'll be take longer now for me to get from here to my car and to my next destination. We were in Bible study last Wednesday night, or a couple Wednesday nights ago, I guess, and we was talking about patience, and patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And people that know me know that's something I struggle with. And so Cindy Dilly, I think it was, she said, you know, all you that struggle with getting from point A to point B, what is your hurry? That's a good question, isn't it, really? What is your hurry? And a lot of the truth of the matter is we're in a hurry because we left late. Come on now. So this year, see, just tweaking it a little and say, I'm going to leave early, so if somebody decides to drive the speed limit on my path, I'll be all right. Are you with me? I mean, that's an easy thing, isn't it? But just to know, and it's an easy tweak to say, this year, I'm going to know how long it takes me from point A to point B, and I'm going to give like 5-10 minutes, and then if something happens, you know, my father-in-law, you know, he was such a frugal man, and he raised 12 children. Jana was the youngest of the group, and I got her, you know, and so I picked the last one they had. But he never had a job that paid more, you know, very well. I mean, he just, you know, it's an okay job. He worked for the county for a while. He worked for the carp. But he always raised cattle and hay and had his own little farm. But he was just really good with money. When he built a house later on in life, he built a 3-bedroom brick home on 140 acres, paid cash for it. See? We think our problem is we don't make enough money. I want you to tweak that this year and say, I'll make enough money if I live within my budget. And stop blaming the economy and stop... That's just a little tweak, isn't it? But it works, and it'll help what your eye sees. It'll help because we're not blaming. And we get that from Adam and Eve, remember? The first couple, no sin, no peer pressure from anyone because they're the only one on the planet, and they sin and start pointing the finger at each other. So, you know, we don't have a chance, do we? If they can, they point the finger and blame in that environment, we just don't have a chance. But living in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we should have more than a chance. We should live in victory. But the thing is, he says, you know what? We have to determine where our treasure is this year if we're going to see things in the right light. And we have to stop blaming and stop being aggravated at people for driving the speed limit and using coupons in front of us that's going to help save them money and all the things that life is about. How about when somebody corrects you? How many just says, that's a lot of fun. I love being corrected because it helps me grow. Don't you just love being corrected? Especially by your children when they're right and they correct you. Don't you just love that? That's the way we should be, right? But we don't see it in that way because we're, you know, we take offense to it. And we, you know, we're. That's just the way we are, you know. Here's what we do: when somebody corrects us, what we first start doing is look at their faults, right? Oh, well, you want to correct me? Let me tell you about you. That's looking kind of negative, isn't it? It really, it's something that should be in a positive. That should be, you know, something that. Will help us grow and be more Christ-like when somebody gives. And really, even it doesn't matter about their tone. It helps, doesn't it, if they have a right tone and we know their heart's for us. But even if it's a critical, here's something I learned that has helped me to see this situation better. When somebody gives you a critical adjustment, you know, a little, however you want to word it, and you know their attitude's not right, here's something that it's helped me, and that is usually there is an element of truth in there I need to look at. Even if their attitude's not right, there's an element of truth in there that usually that they'll lay on the table and they'll blow it up around it, but there's always usually an element of truth that you can tweak and make yourself better. But we're not looking for that, right? Especially if their attitude's not right, we're not looking for that. So we have to look past that. That's what I'm trying to say this year for me and for you, is looking past about me and saying, what good can I glean from this that will help me grow? I may never clip a coupon, but you know what? I will try to be a better steward like they are. I may never drive the speed limit, but I'll try to drive safely. You know, whatever it is. And by the way, if we're going to help each other get better, every once in a while we need to give somebody correction. Did you know that? Every once in a while. I don't care how old you are, your mom and your dad, if they're still living, they'll correct you if they're good mom and dad. They just will. My dad, a few years ago, was sitting at his table. He had some deer meat laying out there. He had rolled it out thinly, and he had this little thing that was about like a beef jerky size, and he patted it full, and he scraped off the top, and he'd do it, and then he'd take the thing and lay it over here. And I looked at him for just a little bit, and I come from Oklahoma City, and I'm in a hurry. I'm wanting to visit and hurry up and get home and hurry and do all and hurry. And I said, Dad, I said, I think you could, there's a lot faster way to do that if you'd like to do it. He said, what's your hurry? He's enjoying the process. I'm thinking, he's thinking, what's your hurry? I'm retired. This is what I do for a living now. I make deer jerky and I raise a garden and I enjoy the moment. What's your hurry? And you know what I said? I don't know. I just thought it could be done faster. I don't know why. Help me. You know, deliver me. How many knows God gave us 2:12 to enjoy? According to the Mayan calendar, this is it. We're all going to launch. The little liquor store down on our street, down on 4th Street, where we live, even cashing in, said, this is the last year. Drink up, enjoy. Thought, well, okay then. Fine. So what if this is it? What if this is it? Wouldn't you want to be in a good place where you're looking at things in a positive way, in a manner that's godly, and having more patience with people that really are just as stressed as you, and they're on their way, and they're trying to make it the best they can? Wouldn't it be better if we had a good attitude if this was indeed it? Wouldn't it be good? If when Jesus come back, you're looking at something in a positive, in a godly, in an uplifting manner instead of stressing out about it. You know what chapter 6 is really all about? Don't sweat the small stuff. And guess what? In God's eyes, it's all small stuff. I mean, if you can create a planet and 7 billion people, our little problems are pretty small according to Him. Now, it's not that He doesn't care. He loves us. He gave His Son for us. He created a planet for us. He gave us a retirement plan, which will not be a retirement plan, really. It'll be a living plan, won't it? When we leave here, and then we'll have no more sickness, no more dying, and no more pain and tears and suffering, and we'll be with the Lord forever and ever, and we'll rule and reign planets and galaxies with Him. I mean, it's going to be awesome. So don't get too stressed and bogged down while you're here. Don't sweat the small stuff. Really is what it's all about. So I just wanted to kind of help with us this year and say, you know what, before we get into all these things that He said, just make this a practice. And that's what this series is going to be. Just things to practice this year where it'll give you an advantage of having a great year. You know. Not blaming the economy and not blaming it. We're kind of like politicians. Did you know when Newt Gingrich got in, he was in the lead? Everybody starts picking on Newt, don't they? Every negative. Sometimes as Christians, we can be just like the politicians. Some other Christian doing really well, we'll just find some little thing to kind of bring them down a notch or two. Well, you know how they got their money, don't you? Or whatever it is, you know. Instead of celebrating with people and hurting with people. You know, He said, if a brother and sister is rejoicing, rejoice. Brother, sister's hurting, you know, cry with them. Get in the trenches with them and help. Now, you know, there's always going to be people that can't help because they won't help themselves. I understand that, and you understand that as well. You know, they get something going for them, they'll mess it up just because they're lazy or whatever. And I understand all that. But what I'm saying is we need to get an attitude where we can look at things in the light that Jesus looked at it. That's one of the things about our Savior. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but when he walked out in the crowd, he could see the good in just about anybody that was ever there. Well, all the other Christians were criticizing, he was going home with them and having a party. That's all I'm saying. Just let's have a different eye this year. Because he said, if you know what, if a part of your eye is dark, your whole eye can be darkened and there'll be no light inside of us. So let's just start off this year saying, you know what, I'm gonna stop complaining, I'm going to stop being negative, I'm going to stop criticizing people in front of me and behind me and around me, and this year I'm gonna, and it's going to take practice, and it's going to take asking God to help us to say, Lord, let me see the good. Let me use eyes like you have so I can see the good that's in front of me. One of my friends owns a construction business, and he hired a guy that had been in prison, had an ankle bracelet on whenever he hired him, and he said, but I'm trying to straighten my life out, and I'm really good at this, what I do. And so he hired him, and he said, sure enough, man, he was one of the best workers I've ever seen. But he still had a problem. And he stole the trailer, and they had it on video, and so they told him, you know, says, if he'll bring it back, he's such a good worker. This guy, the people he stole from, he says, if he'll just bring it back, we want him to press charges. And so he went and got it, and he brought it back, but he said he didn't do it. He knows who did it, but he won't roll over on them. Yeah. And we don't want to be like that. And then here's what my friend said. He said, we decided we'll never hire people that have that kind of a background and past again. And I couldn't help but tell him, I said, I know that you got burnt here. I said, but that's a pretty narrow statement. Isn't that? Don't you agree? That's a pretty narrow statement. Because I said, the fact is, there might be somebody just like him next time that really wants to change. And I said, anytime we take risk, how many knows we're always at the advantage of being hurt. When we take risk on people, you loan somebody money in good faith and they don't pay you back. You hire somebody to do a job and they don't do it well. I mean, we're all at risk, aren't we, of being taken advantage of? But I said, you know, and I would just challenge you to tweak that a little bit and say, you know, to not put never, because there may be somebody that God may say, just take a risk on this one. And here's what I believe. My friend, you know, he takes good care of his employees. He gave all bonuses and stuff this year, and he did very well. And so he blessed the ones that stayed and that remained. And so and I think the man that stole and wouldn't fess up, and I don't know what will become of him, but I think he saw good seed. How many knows that Judas Iscariot walked with Jesus for over 3 years, and when it came time to put his life on the line, he betrayed him and sold him out, and Jesus called him friend. That's the kind of eye I'm talking about we need to see with. To the people that we know sold us out. And he was completely aware of what his men were doing and completely aware of their weaknesses, yet he put himself out and made his and had risk. Remember when he took the three, Peter, James, and John, to pray? And he said, man, I'm telling you, if you've ever prayed hard, pray now, or you're going to fall into temptation. This is serious stuff. Remember what happened when he walked back three times and he had to wake him up three times? Can you imagine that you've poured your heart and soul into these guys for over 3 years and that's the best they give you? Did Jesus have a reason to have an attitude toward those he had invested in? He did. But here's something else he had. He had a keen eye for what God was doing in his midst. And that's what I believe this is going to give us. When we look at things in a positive way, in a God-honoring way, I think he's going to give us a different eye for what... It doesn't mean we won't still go through things, but it means God will have a different eye to see going through. Have you ever walked through something and you had this critical eye and this, oh my God, attitude, what am I doing? And you get past it and you think, well, you know, that wasn't really as bad as I thought it was. You ever been? I've done that several times in my life. What about if we had an eye before we ever go through it to have that same kind of an attitude instead of stressing out and worrying and making ourselves sick and before we, you know, reach the other side and thinking, well, that wasn't all that. I don't know why. How about if we had the eye to see, this eye of like Jesus has, and to see like He sees, and the anointing and the blessing He sees, to go through everything with that kind of peace and power. Wouldn't that be a good year? Let me just say, honestly, you know, I did a little stressing. Just if I was going to get honest, I did a little stressing in 2011. Just a little, you know. Maybe quite a little. You know, so here we are, our first day of 2012, and we're getting ready to go through. How about if we go through with a different set of eyes today that says, you know what, I'm going to see what God is doing. I'm going to ask Him what's going on here. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done today. Oh, and by the way, Lord, if I can be delivered from this, that would be awesome. But if I can't, give me strength to go through. Let me see and learn what I need to see and what I need to learn, and I'm going to be better when I'm done in Jesus' name. You know, having a positive outlook instead of a negative outlook. On the news last night, there was a young lady laying there in a hospital bed. She had just been in surgery with a big grin on her face. Big grin on her face. You know why she was grinning? She had just given one of her kidneys to a stranger. Listen, look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now watch this. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. When she was in the interview, she said this. She said, you know what? I saw this somewhere on the internet. I don't remember where they posted it, but she saw this need, this young couple starting off, and her husband was in desperate need of a kidney, and the family wasn't a match. And so she said this was on Thursday. She saw it on Friday morning. She was in being tested to see if she was a match and went straight from there just real quickly into the surgery. And not even really knowing who this was. And there she lay with a big grin on her face, fresh out of surgery, on national television. She did it in secret, and her Father rewarded her openly. And here's what I want you to get out of this first part of this new year. Make charitable deeds a part of your life this year. Let me ask you something. Why do you think somebody that didn't know another person very well would be laying in a bed grinning about having surgery and giving part of her body away? Because she's significant. Today, she mattered. Can I tell you something? There's something in you and me that needs to be significant. We've robbed that with our schedules and fatigue by going to work. We get up, we brush our teeth, we eat something, we go to work, we come home, we get in front of the tube, we take a shower, we go to bed, we get up, we eat something, we go to work, we come home, we eat something, we watch a little tube, go to bed, and we get in a rut. And there's no significance. What will God ask you to do this year that's charitable? Something that you know, they can't return your gift. This last year, we sent money for the tsunami. We built some more widows' houses. We helped drill some more wells this year. That's significant, isn't it? And we're already in prayer this morning about, God, what is it this year that you would have us as a whole to give to and contribute to? And I hope that whatever that is and where God leads us, that you'll be a part of that. But more than that, in your daily work, where you're at, how can you be significant? He said, when you do charitable deeds, he don't say if you do charitable deeds, when you do charitable deeds. Listen, if you want to have a great year of where you feel significant, don't forget to give yourself away somewhere to a charitable cause. And you don't have to worry about announcing it. If it needs to be announced on national TV, God will get a hold of that and put you right in the spotlight on national TV. He will reward you openly. But he says, you know what, there's something about that. And he starts off before prayer, before giving, before all the things we'll talk about in this chapter, he starts off with charitable deeds. He told us in there, he said, charity covers a multitude of sin. Now, charity won't save you. How many knows that? Only the blood of Jesus Christ are we saved. But there's just a soft part in God's heart that says, man, when I see one of my children bless another one of my children, it just touches me. In fact, he put it this way himself. He said, when I see you do it to the least of these, he said, I take it real personal. You have done it unto me. Here's one thing. In 2012, when you see a need on TV and you think, and here's what we think, right? We think, oh, if I had a lot of money, I'd like to support that. Well, let me tell you something. From where I've been around the world, you have a lot of money. Because most of us don't have to worry about breakfast or lunch or dinner. Most of us don't have to worry about house payments or car payments or, you know, we make enough to do that and more and still have fun. But here's what I want you to do this year. If the Lord strikes something in your heart, an accord in your heart, and you see something on TV or in your community or in your family or at work, and you're thinking, if I had a lot of money, I would like to support, I would give to that. I want you to go ahead and just say, I have a lot of money, and I'm going to give to that, and just pray and ask God what He'd like for you to give to that. I'm telling you, it'll make a big difference in your 2012. And this year, it'll make a huge difference. And here's what the devil comes along and says, well, no more than you could give, it won't make a significant difference. Here's what I want to challenge you with. When you give to the Lord's cause, He can increase that so you can give more next time. Not only that, but it makes you feel significant. Just like the lady sitting there that had been cut open and give a part of her body away saying, isn't this great? It was great because she helped somebody else live and shared what God had given her. There's just something significant about giving away something that to someone else that you're not expecting payback or anything else. But here's the payoff. The payoff is when you give, the secret, when you give, he said, I will reward you openly. We'll be able to see it on your face, see it in your countenance. Because you've been doing the will of God. Somebody put it this way. When we give, that's when we are most like God. Now I'm going to stop there. Because I'll give you two things to think about. And we'll look at the rest of it in the next week or so. But I hope you'll take the challenge. And this is really a personal challenge for me. It's just to look at everything in a more positive light this year. Look at everything in a more positive way. To pick the good out of whatever situation I'm in. This may be the year you get laid off. May be the year they run me off from here. I mean, there's no assurances, is there, in the world? I don't know what will happen to us this year, but I know one thing. If we'll stay in the mind frame and the path of God, it can be good. I love the stories, don't you, where somebody lost their job and they really find what their niche, what they're called and born to do. I love those kind of stories. You hear about them all the time in our economy. So if you're here and you don't have a job, maybe God's just trying to free you up so you can find what you were born and created to do. But you got to look at it differently. You got to stop blaming the economy and stop blaming the company and stop doing all that and start giving God praise for where He's taking you. In a negative relationship, maybe. Stop looking at it in a negative way and say, what can I do that would be positive that I could help promote a good relationship? See, it's not much, but it's the difference maker. Makes all the difference in the world. And I want to give us that challenge to do that. And then I'd like for you to do this. Just say, you know what? Where is it that you want me to invest my time in my life this year, Lord? What is it that you have for me that'll make a big, significant difference for someone? I may not give a kidney, but I can do something that'll make a difference in someone else's life. Remember the little sea fish story where the grandpa's picking up the sand dollars and throwing them out in the ocean, and there's millions of them. Remember that little story? I love that. Where his grandson's with him and says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm giving life to these sand dollars." He says, "Well, you'll never make a difference. There's too many." And I love it. And this is the kind of attitude I want you to have. He picks up one and throws it. Well, it matters to this one, and gives it a flame. It'll always matter to the one you're touching. Maybe there's somebody next door that needs their lawn mowed, or maybe it's somebody at work that needs a hand. I don't know, but God will help us to know. So there's two things I'd like to give you leaving today. Going to look at it in a different way. We're going to pick the good out of it. And we're going to look around us and say, God, what is it this year that you want me to be an extension of your hands to? That I can look like you to somebody or something in my life. I'm telling you, just practice those two things and we can have a great year. But it gets better, so you need to come back next Sunday. And if you can't, just study the chapter. Look at that and follow the chapter 6. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the challenge today to examine where our treasure is. Not what we say we treasure, but where we spend our time. That's what we truly treasure. And how much of our treasure involves someone else? How much of our time on a weekly, daily, monthly basis involves someone else's benefits? So I pray that you'll help us to take just a day or two at the beginning of this year and say, you know what, according to my schedule, according to where I spend my time, this is my treasure. And Father, if it all falls back on us, and everything we're doing basically is for us and our four and no more, then may we, first of all, repent from that, and then may we begin to seek your counsel on what we can really do to live life and live it more abundantly. Because, Lord, wherever we're spending our time, that's where our treasure is. And that's what we're laying up in eternity. And so help us, Lord, not to be spending all of our treasure and our time and all of our heart and time and attention on our own selves. Because you said we need to lay up treasure in heaven. Someday we'll receive reward for everything we've done. And so help us today to be diligent in that area. And Father, there's all kinds of needs around us in our church, our homes, our community, our state, our planet. All kinds of need. You said the poor you will have with you always. So we know that there's all kinds of desperate needs around us. But we pray that you would direct us this year on being charitable to the area specific to our assignment. And the only way we're going to find that is to ask and to look and to listen. And Father, every person in this building can make a significant difference somewhere to someone. Whether it's feeding kids or drilling wells or being that neighbor and running errands or visiting the dying. Every one of us can be charitable in some area. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that You would come and begin to just minister to us. Begin to reveal and show us where that is. We want to be like You this year. And we have the first day to get started. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we get to the end of 2012 and we look back, we'll hear You say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That's our desire in our heart today. So help us, Lord, to see as You see. And to give and invest as You see. And You would invest. We ask that with a sincere and a hungry heart. In Jesus' name. All the church said, Amen.